राधा कर गिरि गोबर दान की जाए श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाए नवद्वीप धाम की जाए गंग जमुना तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जाए आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाए समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए गौ प्रेम नंदी All glory to the Son of the Devotees, all glory to the Son of the Devotees, all glory to the Son of the Devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glory to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthama Tade Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pashtacha Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46, Verse 29. Tayor etam Bhagavati. Krishna Nanda Yasodayo. Viksh Anuragam Paramam. Nandam Ahodavo Muda. Tayo, of the two of them, ittam, like this, Bhagavati, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Nanda Yasodayo, of Nanda and Yasoda, Viksha, clearly seeing, Anuragam, loving attraction, Paramam, supreme, Nandam, to Nanda, Aha, spoke, Uddhava, Muda, with joy. Translation, Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yasoda felt for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Report, if Uddhava had seen Nanda and Yasoda actually suffering, he would not have reacted with the joy. But in fact, all emotions on the spiritual platform are transcendental bliss. The so-called anguish of the pure devotees is another form of loving ecstasy. This was clearly seen by Uddhava, and thus he spoke as follows. Sri Uddhava said, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yasoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayana, the Supreme Master of all living beings. Purport, understanding Nanda's mood as expressed by his statement, Manye Krishnam Charamam Cha Prapta Iha Sarottama, I think Krishna and Rama must be two exalted demigods. Uddhava here refers to Krishna as Lord Narayana. Text 31. These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme. Purport. The word Vilakshana means either distinctly perceiving or confused, depending on how the prefix V is understood in context. In the case of enlightened souls, Vilakshana means perceiving the correct distinction between the body and the soul. And thus, Lord Krishna, as indicated by the word Ishate, guides the spiritually advanced soul. The other meaning of Vilakshana, confused or bewildered, clearly applies to those who have not understood the difference between the soul and the body, or the distinction between the individual soul and the supreme soul. Such bewildered living beings do not go back home, back to Godhead, to the eternal spiritual world, but rather achieve temporary destinations according to the laws of nature. It is understood from all Vaishnava literatures that Sri Rama Balaram, here accompanying Lord Krishna, is non-different from him, being his plenary expansion. The Lord is one, yet he expands himself, and thus Lord Balaram in no way compromises the principle of monotheism. So here we see that Uddhava begins to speak, seeing the great love that they have for Krishna. And Uddhava first begins by praising Krishna as the Supreme Lord and calling him Narayana, which is actually not the understanding of Yasoda and Nanda at all. But he begins with this type of praise of the Supreme Lord. One, of course, because it is this is the natural thing to do, to praise the person as the Supreme Lord, and Krishna is the Supreme Lord, so we should praise him as such. So this is, of course, the common way of praising Krishna, to think of him as Supreme Lord, even though it is not the way in which Nanda and Yasoda think of Krishna, but it's more or less conventional. For instance, we see how Akura praises Krishna and he addresses him as Supreme Lord, whatever, or Vasudeva and Devaki will approach Krishna and address him as Supreme Lord. So not unusual. And of course Uddhava belongs to the Yadus, so he understands that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So it's natural for him to begin in this way to praise Krishna. So he does so, and he praises not only Krishna, but Krishna and Balaram. So this verse is describing both of them in the dual form. These two are the source of the universe, etc. With the understanding that they're actually one, that Bhagavan is one, but he has many different forms. So this in itself is a little difficult for many people to understand. If there's one Supreme Lord, how can he have two forms? That's a little bit of a problem for many people. So they will think there are many gods, not one God. However, it is clearly explained in the Vedic literature how there is one Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, but he can have many forms, but that does not make him many. He's still one. So, for instance, we have a discussion or a description of the many Vishnu forms, 24 Vishnu forms in the spiritual world. And then we have the avatar forms of the Lord. The conclusion is not that they are all different, but they're one Supreme Lord. So this should be accepted by everyone if they accept the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. So Uddhava here is explaining how they're actually one person by addressing both of them as Supreme Lord. Krishna and Balaram are actually one. Of course, if one accepts the Vedic literature, then one can accept this, that okay, Krishna and Balaram are actually one person, even though they're in two forms, or that there are many different forms of the Lord. a person in the material world will not accept it because he'll think it's illogical. How is it possible that one person can have two forms or five forms or 10 forms? There must be different persons. Because we've never had any experience of that. So the material person will not accept that. So it has to be accepted on the basis of scripture. But then we'll have the people of Vrindavan. They also do not accept this. But it is not because of ignorance, like the people in the material world. It is because of their particular loving relationship with Krishna, that they don't accept him as Supreme Lord, and therefore how he can be many also is not acceptable to them, because if he is many, he has supernatural powers, but they don't think of Krishna like that. So this whole idea of Uddhava addressing Krishna and Balaram as the Supreme Lords is quite foreign to Yasoda and Nanda. They don't see Krishna and Balaram like that. They are a Supreme Lord, or they're two forms of the Supreme Lord. That's very unacceptable to them. So it is not a very good way for Uddhava to actually pacify them if he's speaking over them as a Supreme Lord. But, of course, he has his own intentions behind this. Even though this is ultimately not acceptable by Yasoda and Nanda, he has his own plan behind doing all of this, praising Krishna and Balaram as Supreme Lord. He addresses them as the Bijayoni, the source and the seed of the universe. This, of course, does refer to the Narayan forms directly. We have Mahavishnu and then Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who gives birth to Brahma, and then Brahma creates the planets within the material world, and from Mahavishnu come all of the universes, etc. So this is directly a Vishnu form, not Krishna in his, at least his form, though we say an expansion of Krishna. Quite different from the appearance of Krishna and Balaram, who are two young boys, and we have Narayan, a huge form with the universes coming out of the pores in his body, whatever. So very, very different. He addresses them as the Purusha. They are those, the Purusha avatars, creators of the material world. And another thing is, then he says, Purusha Pradhanam, that which means matter, actually, that the Supreme Lord is matter. So this is a very philosophical concept, Achinta Veda Veda he's presenting here. The Lord actually is the universe and all the matter in the universe. There's no distinction between the Lord and his external energy or his Shakti. The Lord and his Shakti are one. So in that sense, Krishna is also Pradhana or Prakriti. Normally, of course, we don't think like that. Prakriti is inert and Supreme Lord is spiritual. But here he's presenting this idea that the Lord actually is non-different from the whole material world and all the Achit energy, which is also quite astonishing for most people to believe. So again, another very exalted concept of Achinta Bheda Bheda. The Lord and material energy are non-different. And then he says that they are, they enter into all living entities. And of course they become the witness, and they become aware of everything in the material world. This of course is, has some relevance here, because by saying this, Uddhava indicates that Krishna is aware of the suffering of the people of Vrindavan, because he is in all living entities, so he must be aware of it. In this way, it's some sort of, what we'll say, consolation, that he is not indifferent to the suffering of the people of Vrindavan. He is the controller of everything. and they he controls the awareness of all living entities. He is the soul of the soul. The awareness of all the living entities depends on the Supreme Lord. Well, and they're also addressed as Purano, meaning ancient. They're eternal. They exist forever. It also means very old. This is also a little bit contrary to Krishna and Balaram because they're very young. And Nanda and Yasoda regard them as small children. And here Uddhava is saying Purano, they're very, very ancient. So a little bit contradictory to the conceptions of Nanda and Yasoda. But of course, this is one strategy to announce that Krishna and Balaram are actually quite different from what Nanda and Yasoda have been thinking. They're Supreme Lord, aware of everything, controlling everything, the source of material world, etc. In other words, this is a presentation of Krishna Balaram in their aspect as Supreme Lord, that they are not simply small children at all. They're in the highest position as Supreme Lord. There is nothing wrong with this statement. Of course, it is also true. Krishna and Balaram are supreme because they are Bhagavan, forms of Bhagavan. So, therefore, everything that Uddhava states is actually true. And previously we heard that Uddhava was very learned. He was the student of Brihaspati, very, very knowledgeable. So he had a grasp of the position of the Supreme Lord. And he also identified the Supreme Lord with Krishna. So therefore, his words are not untrue. But at the same time, they are a little different from the thinking of Nanda and Yasoda. So we all begin to think, well, how is this going to pacify Nanda and Yasoda by presenting Krishna as Supreme Lord, because they never think of him as that. On the other hand, we can say that just as in the material world, we think we're the material body, but then someone comes and says, no, you're not the body, you're the spirit soul, then we get some sort of enlightenment through that. And then we give up our suffering or whatever like that. So, by presenting Krishna and Balaram not as simply small children, but as to whom one should have attachment, but as Supreme Lord, then naturally one would become more detached from them. As we see in the case of Devaki. So Devaki was also the mother of Krishna, but she also understood he's Supreme Lord. So because of that, she didn't have such attachment to Krishna. The attachment was, let's say, weakened by awareness of him as Supreme Lord. So if Nanda and Yasoda can think of Krishna and Balaram not just as their sons, but as Supreme Lord, then they would weaken their attachment to him as their child, and thus they would get a little relief from suffering. So that is one sort of strategy that could be used here. So in most cases it works, such a strategy, by giving higher knowledge or some knowledge of the truth of the Supreme Lord, then we become very serious. We see, for instance, when Krishna revealed his form as the universe to Mother Yasoda when she looked in his mouth. For a moment, then Yasoda became very serious. She said, oh, all this household life, very, it's Maya, maybe I should give up everything. But then she forgot everything because of her great attachment to Krishna. And then she just rejected the whole incident. So we'll see also that in spite of the fact that Uddhava gives this type of praise to Krishna and Balaram as Supreme Lord, hoping that Nanda and Yasoda would become very serious and sober, whatever, and become less attached, did the opposite. Instead, they could no way change their minds, and they still held on to this idea that Krishna and Balaram are their sons, and they're small children, which indicates the strength of their attachment. Nothing can interrupt their vision of Krishna because of the strength of that attachment to him. Whereas others, of course, will accept this type of dual vision of Krishna. He's Supreme Lord, but he's also a Yadu, he's a relative, etc. So their attachment is less, and they accept Krishna as Supreme Lord. But here, the attachment is so strong that even if it is announced that they are Supreme Lord, the people of Vrindavan don't accept that. And if Devaki and Vasudeva explain to Nanda and Yasoda that actually Krishna and Balaram are not your sons, they're our sons, and Vasudeva took them from the prison to Gokul, they don't believe that either. They don't listen to that. They simply accept Krishna and Balaram as their sons. So that's because of the strength of their attachment to Krishna and Balaram. Nothing can interfere with that. So that's a sign of the attachment that they have. It's not due to ignorance or anything else. So in the material world, of course, such things are condemned. People are attached to the bodies and to the families, and we try to give them enlightenment, and they will reject it. That's not Maya. You're not telling us the truth. So then we say, well, they're in ignorance, or to it materially attached. But in the spiritual world, the opposite. This is a good sign, where there is a complete attachment to the Supreme Lord, such that we don't hear any, we don't accept any other vision of the Supreme Lord. But this only applies to Krishna and the people of Vrindavan. That's the special nature of those persons. Their attachment is so great that they reject any other vision of Krishna. So, therefore, though in the material world such an attitude is rejected as ignorance, in the spiritual world it is in the highest position. So later on, Uddhava praises the people of Vrindavan as being superior to the people of Mathura. And Brahma, similarly, previously, also praised the people of Vrindavan as supreme persons, greater than anyone else. And he even compares, Brahma, himself, Shiva, and Lakshmi. They're all inferior to the people of Vrindavan. So, therefore, this state of the people of Vrindavan is the highest. And when Krishna separates from them, the people of Vrindavan, that the attachment reaches an even higher state. And it is expressed in the form of what looks like suffering and lamentation and pain. Actually, it isn't, as explained in these purports. Rather, it is a part of prema itself. But it looks like the lamentation of the material world. Just as in the material world, when we are separated from objects of love, we lament. And the stronger the attachment is, the stronger the lamentation when the separation takes place. So in the spiritual world also, the stronger the attachment when the separation takes place, the greater the pain and lamentation. So this is what happens with the people of Vrindavan. It becomes an extreme case in comparison to the people of Dwarka or Mathura. Definitely. They also have a separation from Krishna at times, but the intensity does not reach the intensity we see in the people of Vrindavan, like Yasoda and Nanda. So this indicates again the high position of the prema of the people of Vrindavan for Krishna. And for this reason, of course, then, Krishna and Vrindavan is selected as the object of worship. So generally, we worship Krishna in his Vrindavan form, with his flute and with the cows and the cow herds and the gopis, etc., rather than his Mathura or Dwarka form. And as explained in the nectar devotion, this is the Purnatama form of Krishna, the most perfect form, because it is that form evokes the strongest attachment to Krishna. And that may be expressed in meeting or in separation. Either case, it is the most intense. So in this case, we have intensity of separation. And Uddhava's job is to somehow pacify or mitigate that feeling of separation by his presence under the order of Krishna.
Maharaj, like here we see Nanda and Yashoda, they are, I mean, they are not willing to accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so they are eternally liberated associates of the Lord. And but in material world pastimes, they recognize Narayana as a Supreme Lord. So do they also recognize Narayana as Supreme Lord of the spiritual world? I mean, do they recognize some authority in spiritual world pastimes there?
People of Vrindavan?
Huh.
Well, yeah, we'll find descriptions of how, like in Gopal Champu, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, there's the Vishnu temple, and they worship Vishnu, etc., like that, as Supreme Lord.
Even in the spiritual world also.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we see, previously mentioned, this. The Brajavasi also, they feel that, that because of our sinful activities, we are suffering. They think themselves as like a materialistic person, like ordinary people. So, here we see that their attachment for Krishna is, they also might feel this is actually also, is also like a maya for us. A material point of view, if we think that Nanda Maharaj and they are all like not spiritual, this an eternal associates with Lord, they also feel though is our attachment to Krishna like a maya all. They also feel like this. But Uddhava came here that it's like, if you explain it from the material point of view, he's trying to give the knowledge of like an spiritual knowledge that he should not be attached towards his son, because also and later parts we see that he gives the signs of the soul also. It's also one kind of thing, he's a material, it's all materialistic idea. You can see.
If they were of less, not so attached to Krishna, then they may do that. But since their attachment is so strong, they never think like that. That they are, that we have to give up this conception and do something else, because of their attachment to Krishna. It is so strong. So therefore, they can never give up that idea that Krishna is their son.
What is the purpose of Uddhava when he is giving so much information about soul, body, universal, and pradhana? What is the ultimate purpose of doing that? To pacify them or only to build them?
Well, it's an attempt to pacify them, as I said, by an understanding, just as in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, you're not the body, you're the soul, so therefore that's a higher type of knowledge. So this is also maybe on one level a higher type of knowledge, to just as in sadhana bhakti, yes, Krishna is a cowherd boy, but then we all say, oh, he's also Supreme Lord. So it's a type of knowledge we have. So this is would be a type of enlightenment for Nanda and Yashoda, and therefore, okay, he's Supreme Lord, and he knows everything about us, so then they would be satisfied, that he's understanding our position and he'll make arrangements for us, etc. So it's one attempt for pacifying by showing his powers, that he's all-powerful. But, of course, Nanda and Yashoda and the people of Vrindavan are not so much interested in that at all. They just want to have Krishna in front of them, that's all. They don't care about all of this philosophy. So generally, we approach with a philosophical attitude, first of all, to console a person. And we see even the demons do that. Hranikasipu pacifies Hranaksha's wives. Okay, you're not the body, you're the soul, and there's no such thing as death. So they use philosophical means sometimes.
So there's is like a beginning, we can say.
Yeah. First attempt.
First attempt.
In ISKCON temples, Radha Krishna deities are in Vrindavan Radha Krishna form. If not, how can you meditate Radha Krishna in Vrindavan form by me? What? If not, how can we meditate on Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan form by me? I don't know what the question is.
Actually, I should have
come here. Hare Krishna.
What's that?
Radha Krishna is simple in Vrindavan form.
Yeah.
I should have come. So how can we?
Aishwarya form, such as? Huh? Well, generally, we in the temple worship, we do have a little formality there. Though there are two modes, there is the Raganuga type of mode, and then there is the Aishwarya mode. But generally, Pancharatra will favor the Raganuga. Temples will favor the Aishwarya mode, as tradition is, like in Pancharatra. But within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that is somewhat weakened, and therefore we see that Krishna is not so much worshipped in the Aishwarya mode, even in very formal temples, in like Vrindavan, like Radharaman temple. We can't call that Aishwarya mode in one sense. It is quite, even of course he's got a turban on, or he's got a crown, etc. But the mode is more inclined to spontaneity and Raganuga. So in one sense, yes, we worship in Aishwarya mode because that's what Pancharatra is vidhi. But within that, as the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we have some relaxation and we address Krishna and serve him in a more spontaneous mood than in a normal, let's say, Pancharatric temples. Well, you know, obviously, in the spiritual world, that everything is available for addressing Krishna. But of course, if we look in the Bhagavatam, we see the descriptions of Krishna in Vrindavan. He goes to the forest and he dresses himself in flowers and berries and gunja berries and peacock feathers and clay, whatever like that. So it's quite simple, actually. But he does have jewelry also, so he has bangles and belts and anklets and whatever. So that much is there. The one of the rules is that one should offer to the Lord everything, all the most wonderful items, as according to one's capacity. So therefore, one will offer the best things to the Lord, like that. Of course, there's a limit to that. Also, there's a certain limit so that it doesn't go to the extreme, and therefore interrupt that mood of Vrindavan completely and become something else. You know? So. There's also a limit we can go to.
Maharaj, like Sanatan Goswami was Latika Manjari in Krishna pastimes. So in this, like when he's Sanatan Goswami, even Sanat Kumara also enters into Sanatan Goswami, it says so. So even the rasas, they're different. Maharaj, how do you explain this? Sanatan Goswami is Latika Manjari in Krishna pastimes. And when he is Sanatana Goswami, Sanat Kumara enters into Sanatana Goswami. It says so in Hari Bhakti Vilasa. So, like even the rasas are different between the Sanat Kumara and Latika Manjari.
Well, we can say that they can participate in the higher pastimes by entering into them if they are to do so. For instance, the Kumaras are generally in Shanta Rasa.
Yeah.
But then we have Sanat Kumar Samhita, which is more about Radha and Krishna. So they have some, let's say, realization also of Madhurya Rasa or appreciation of it in certain cases. So therefore, in that sense, they could identify with them.
Hmm?
about Sanatan Goswami? I don't think so.
Here in the translation it said that the Lord controls the conditioned awareness of the individuals. How far it affects our freedom?
Well, it controls in the sense that without the permission of the Lord, consciousness does not operate for the jivas. But obviously he does not make all the choices for the jivas in the material world, otherwise they wouldn't have any karma. So therefore he controls in the sense that he allows their consciousness to operate. He is the permitter of their consciousness and the witness of their consciousness. But they make their own choices.
But when the Lord and the Lord's energy is not different, why is it the differentiation of the two is done here? Balaram to be the energy of the Lord. The Lord and the energy of the Lord are non-different.
Mm.
But here the differentiation has been distinctly made, Balaram to be the energy of the Lord, and he accompanies with the Lord in the heart of the devotees or the living entities.
What distinction?
The distinction between the energy of the Lord and the Lord himself. Balaram is said to be the expansion of the energy of the Lord.
No, I'm supposed to say that. They're both the Lord, and then Pradhana is the energy of the Lord. And they both identify with Pradhana. So they are the Lord, plus they're also the material world. That's the example. Not that Balaram is the energy of Krishna.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.